Well, please have your Bibles open at Psalm 123. There comes a point in life when we've just had enough. We can't cope any longer. We need some relief. We are fed up. Maybe we just can't take it anymore and we end up exploding. Has anyone ever been there? Has anyone been there this week? Anyone going to put their hands up? Yes, one or two people. Yes. We all know what it's like, don't we, to come to the end of our tether. But do you realize that what happens next reveals a lot about the sort of person that you are? And if you're a Christian, where you are in your walk with the Lord. Well, our psalmist this evening, he's a man who has reached the end of his tether. He's just had enough. And now he needs to remedy the situation that he's facing. So we need to ask ourselves a question, what is he facing? And we see it at the very end of the psalm. If we read verses 3 and 4, this is one of those psalms, we're going to work through it backwards, as it were. And he's saying, have mercy on us, Lord, have mercy on us, for we have endured no end of contempt. We have endured no end of ridicule from the arrogant, of contempt from the proud. These are the words of a man who is absolutely sick of it all. He is fed up. And he's not fed up with those screaming children or grandchildren. He's not fed up with the bustle and busyness of the workplace. He's not fed up with the difficulties of life and the terrible things that come our way. He's not fed up with the failings of the church or anything like that. He is absolutely sick of the contempt of the proud. In the ESV translation of this, verse 4 is put down as this. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. That's in the ESV. And the Hebrew behind that phrase translated more than enough is that feeling you have when you've eaten just a little bit too much dinner. You know what happens at Christmas. Maybe at your birthday you go out or something like that, or you've had a barbecue, and you have that feeling where you're just fit to burst. It's that sort of feeling. And they're fit to burst because he is being held in contempt. Does anyone here like to be held in contempt? To be held in contempt means to be thought less of, to be considered weak, foolish, blind, simple, misled. All those sorts of words which describes the attitude of someone who thinks they are so much better than you. And they look at you and they don't value your opinion. They don't care about your input. They think you are worthless. For the psalmist, writing some time during the Old Testament period, we're not sure exactly when this psalm was written, but we can see many, many times in the Old Testament where the nation of Israel was filled with people who had turned away from the true and living God, turned towards idols, leaving behind just a remnant of faithful souls. And this small group of faithful believers, they would have tried to keep the religion alive. They would try to be keeping all of the Ten Commandments. They would be trying to keep the rules and regulations around the sacrifices and the festivals. Which means that each year, they would have endured the scorn and contempt of their neighbors as they went from their villages down the dusty road to Jerusalem. And other people would look at them and think that they were simple, that they'd lost their marbles, that they were all by themselves. Does anyone feel like that when they come to church in the morning? When you're the only person walking towards a church? Has anyone ever been in the situation where everyone is going to church? I suspect Pat might have. Because it's one of the things that struck me when I spent time in Africa was the fact that you go on Sunday morning, you get up, and pretty much everybody in some of these African countries would be going to one church or another. and everyone is there carrying their Bibles down the street. It's been a long time since it was like that today in our land, wasn't it? Instead, you know, if you walk down the street carrying your Bible, then people will just look at you and think that you're a head case. These are the times that we find ourselves living in today. And this happened, this sort of attitude of the general people towards the faithful, several times in the Old Testament. There were times when the nation slipped into idolatry. And then, of course, there was a time of exile as well, when the Jews, they were taken away and they had to live as a remnant in Babylon. And the Babylonians used to taunt them, asking them to sing the songs of Zion in a strange land. Anyone remember a 1970s song? Yes, it's based on a psalm, that is. There were many periods in the Old Testament when God's faithful people faced this sort of contempt from the surrounding society, from the powers of those people who were in control. And today, we are facing the same thing, aren't we? As Christians, we do find ourselves facing contempt. On the national level, maybe even by some members of government, we're seen as old-fashioned and out of touch. And if we take a stand on moral behavior or proclaim the gospel, then some people even consider us dangerous. For those who move in academia and intellectual circles and professional circles, Christians are often considered as very simple people who cannot cope with the complexities of real life. In some careers, if you admit that you're a Christian, you're not going to get promoted. You'll be kept in a low job or possibly even laid off at the next round of redundancies. And it's not just in universities that Christians face this sort of academic criticism. There's always that well-read person who's an atheist who mocks Christianity. And there's plenty of those around. What I found remarkable is in the last 6 years, I've only ever occasionally get to go into some old bookshops. But in the last 6 years, twice I've gone into an old bookshop. And I've been busy browsing through all the different titles there. And the person who owns the shop has been having a conversation with an atheist who's come in. And they have been mocking Christianity. So needless to say, they didn't get my business. And I haven't been into any of those shops since. If you don't frequent bookstores, then there's always the quiz champion at the local pub who thinks he knows a thing or two. You know, that person who is an expert on any subject, who can be so difficult to get on with. But unfortunately, he's also your uncle who you have to see every Christmas, don't you? That awkward person who just looks down on you as a Christian and thinks that you use Christianity as a crutch. Why are Christians held in such contempt by so many people? Should we be surprised? Not if we know our Bibles. Jesus said in John 17 verse 14, the world has hated them, the disciples, because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. If we're saved by Jesus, we're no longer of this world. And the people of this world, they just do not like Christians. Because when we become Christians, we become a new creation. We're regenerated, and our opinions, our outlook, our worldview are all suddenly governed by God's will. We see the world through a different pair of eyes. We see the world through God's eyes, and suddenly we think and behave differently. And we rejoice at that because we're adopted into Christ's family. And we understand that this world that's in darkness is just living in rebellion to God. And we know that people cannot pour contempt directly onto God. To do that, they would have to stand before him. And no sinner will be able to stand before the true and living God and pour contempt upon him. Instead, they'll be down on their face and trying to get out of his presence and calling for the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from his awesome majesty. Today, maybe they think they can pour contempt on God behind his back. But they forget, or maybe they never knew, that God is present everywhere and he sees and hears everything. So because people can't have a go directly at God, guess who they have a go at? His people. They have a go at Christians. And we see this in the scripture, 2 Timothy 3 verse 12. all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. People pour contempt on us and hate us because we are united to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can't pour contempt on him directly, so they have a go at his people instead. And this pressure is ongoing for every Christian. If you've never felt it, then you're either someone who isn't really a genuine Christian, or you've been keeping your light hidden under a bowl. As Christians, we all feel this pressure in one way or another at different times in our lives. The question is, how do we respond when we're full of it, when we're sick of it, of people treating us with contempt? Well, we need to be careful, because the way that we respond reveals a lot about us and reveals about how we are doing in our Christian lives. So one possible response, which is very easy and often very satisfying, is to respond to a sin with a sin. Someone does something nasty to us, so we want to do something nasty back to them. That's so easy, and we all fall into that temptation, don't we? We know we shouldn't, but if we're honest with ourselves, we know that when someone does something nasty to us, we want to do something nasty back to them. That's not the right way to be doing things at all, is it? What we need to do is, when someone has a go at us, then we need to be praying for them and turning the other cheek. Another possible option is, when someone has a go, we can get on our holy horse and remind them that they are a sinner and they are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and they are going to burn in hell for the things that they have done. Does that work? No. Not at all. In fact, it sounds a bit harsh, doesn't it? Maybe we think it. We are sinners saved by grace. If the Lord had not moved in our lives, we would be exactly the same as the people who are pouring contempt on us. We need to remember the mercy and grace that the Lord has poured out upon us. But sadly, some Christians do respond in this way. And when I was researching this sermon, I read something, and it was about Richard Dawkins, the well-known atheist who wrote the book, The God Delusion. And did you know he got lots and lots of letters from Christians? And it was like Christian hate mail. And people were saying he was going to go to hell for what he was doing, that he was someone who was a terrible sinner, he'd be responsible for all the people he was leading astray. And they told him. So you know what he did? He published it all on a website, all these letters, as a sign of the hypocrisy of Christians. Because he understood what many Christians don't necessarily understand, that we are to forgive people and to turn the other cheek. So we do have to be careful, don't we? We need to be people who, when someone has a go at us, we need to turn the other cheek. We need to avoid that temptation to lash out, and we need to forgive people. Another possible way we might respond to contempt is to believe what people are saying about us. People are calling us weak and simple-minded and not very intelligent, and it's all very easy to say, yeah, maybe you're right. I don't understand all this complicated philosophy. I don't understand the things that you're talking about. And we can turn inward upon ourselves, and we can believe the contempt that the arrogant are pouring out upon us. And that doesn't do us any good at all, because we just get depressed. We get depressed physically, emotionally, spiritually, all sorts of ways we end up getting depressed. So we don't want to do that at all. A third possible way that we can respond to the criticism is by deciding not to believe things which cause people offense. So we live in a society today where the idea that God is holy, that he's perfect, and that he holds people to account for their sins, that's considered very offensive by some people, because surely God is a God of love who accepts everyone, regardless of who they are. So the temptation for Christians is to forget the things that are causing problems that the people outside the church, they don't believe, and they say, oh, you're very simple for believing that, or that was then, this is now, and God has changed. Therefore, we don't believe that sort of thing anymore. It's very easy for a church to go down that road, and that attracts all sorts of people in, because you're sharing a message with folk that they want to hear. And if you want to get a following, just tell people what they want to hear. I suspect that's what a lot of our politicians do. They just tell people what they want to hear. And some churches do the same things. They tell people what they want to hear, what makes them feel good about themselves. They don't teach the truth of God's word. It's very easy to go down that road. And that way you can avoid contempt. You can avoid these arrogant people who don't like you. We mustn't do that either. How should we respond? We need to remember that Christians are called to carry their cross, and we need to do exactly what our weary pilgrim does in Psalm 123. Look at the opening of this short song. He says, I lift up my eyes to you who sit enthroned in heaven, as the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a female slave look to the hand of her mistress. So our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he shows us his mercy. The pilgrim feels the same way about this contempt as we feel it today. And no doubt he faced the same temptations that we do. But he responds in the correct way, and we need to learn. He looks to the Lord and he asks for mercy. Our psalmist knows that God is on the throne. He knows that he is in charge of all things because he made everything and he continues to sustain all things. And God is aware of everything that happens. And we know that nothing is outside of his power, is outside of his will. Which means that as we face the taunts and jeers of the arrogant, then it must be part of his plan for us. In some way that we cannot understand, it must be good for our spiritual growth. Maybe because it teaches us to rely more upon God and less upon ourselves. And also, it may be good for those who are arrogant. We must always remember that it is only because of God's grace that we have been rescued from living like this. And when someone is pouring contempt out on a Christian, and that Christian keeps on turning the other cheek and behaving in a loving and kind Christian way, then that person's witness under pressure, their testimony under pressure, can be used by the Lord to convert the person who is the antagonist, who is pouring out the contempt. Therefore, as Christians, when we are under pressure, when we get to the end of our tether, we need to turn to God and ask for his mercy. Because we know that whenever God's people are attacked, God is being attacked as well. And we know that God is faithful. He always keeps his promises. And he's promised to look after his people. We now have this close relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We're adopted into his family. How do you feel when someone has a go at a member of your family? How do you think God feels when someone has a go at his people? We are adopted into his family. So, when we find ourselves under pressure, we need to turn the other cheek outwardly, and we need to pray and call to the Lord. He will hear our cries. Jesus is now on the throne. And when we remember all that he went through on the cross, how he bled and died so that we could be forgiven, he is going to hear your prayer for help, for mercy when you make it. And the prayer itself is a prayer for mercy, not a demand for instant action. So often in our prayers, we may be guilty of treating God as if he was the, as if we are the center of the universe, as if everything is about us and how we feel. And God's only purpose is to provide for us and keep us happy. So we go to him and we demand all sorts of things from him, and we expect to be at the front of the queue. We need to thank the Lord for his patience with us, don't we? Because as Christians, we need to recognize our place before the Lord. And we see this in this psalm. We are his servants. We are his slaves. We belong to him. We have been elevated to being God's children, adopted into his family, which is a great honor. But we must also remember that God is our creator. We are his creation. And God is at the center, not us. He is the one who is in charge. Therefore, instead of demanding deliverance, the Christian who understands their place, who is filled with the fear of the Lord, asks for mercy. Mercy because we do not deserve God to intervene on our behalf. We are unworthy servants who probably don't do our duties particularly well. We know that God has asked us to do certain things. Do we do them to the best of our ability? Most of the time we don't. But God is good and loving and patient with us. So we need to know and recognize our place and realize that God doesn't owe us anything. Instead, we owe him everything. Our lives, our salvation, our strength for today and the future hope that we have, that one day we will see the Lord Jesus Christ, our future hope of a resurrection body which will be restored and healed so that the ravages of age and the accidents of this life will be done away with. All this future hope we have from him, not because we deserve it, but because he loves us. Therefore, we need to know our place before the Lord. We need to be filled with the fear of the Lord. Then we can face arrogance and contempt in a way that brings glory to God. When the pressure comes, and it will come, we look to the Lord. We present our request. Then we wait to see what our master is going to tell us to do. Then with a wave of his hand or a click of his fingers, he guides us into the things that he wants us to do, how we should respond to the situation. Maybe he will give us a bit more strength to keep on going. Believe it or not, most of us are capable of enduring a lot more than we think we possibly can. Maybe he will intervene to remove us from the contempt of the proud. Maybe he will use our patience and endurance as a witness to rescue the arrogant from themselves. The Lord knows the perfect response to every situation, so we should trust him. He is on the throne. He is in control, and he loves his people. They are members of his family, the apple of his eye. And that means he will hear and respond to the prayer of the weary pilgrim.